some areas like this we don't get to as often as we'd like, so I could probably do 2 weeks straight up here and still not see all the kids we'd like to see, but we see as much as we can.
In this episode of After the Fact, we're hitting the road. About 63 million people live in areas with a shortage of dental care, and that's our data point for this episode. 63 million is a lot of folks, nearly one in every five Americans. I'm Dan LaDuke from the Pew Charitable Trusts, and we're joining Christy Jo Fogarty as she travels to rural Minnesota, not far from the North Dakota border, to try to reduce that number.
So where are we now?
This is Clay County Family Service Center. Thank you.
Christy Jo is a new kind of dental provider, a dental therapist. And sometimes her workdays last 12 hours as she drives to set up a portable dental office and bring care to children who need it.
Morning.
Morning.
We're in Moorhead, Minnesota, and she's unpacking her equipment, screwing brackets together, and assembling a dental chair, lights, and yes, even a drill.
It usually takes us about a half hour to get everything set up. So I can put my computer on this one, right? Okay. I know our first one's an exam, so.
That first appointment is with a six-year-old girl, and we spoke with her mother.
Sarah, I just wanted to just talk for a minute, like, why you came here today.
Actually, I got contacted through the school program, and they informed me that she needed a few fillings, and we had paid out of pocket for the first two, and it was just really, really expensive. They said that they would be able to provide filling the other fillings for Serenity, so it's the one thing that just is really costly, even with the state assistance.
If this wasn't here, what could you do?
There really wouldn't be any other options other than paying out of pocket. You'd have to wait until it went pretty much as bad as possible before, you know, and then you could go to community health and they would yank it out. There was no saving it. I think that people maybe don't really realize I have a bachelor's degree, I'm a social worker, and I mean, and still yet I can't cover for dental insurance for my daughter, so.
Any teeth that she's complained about, any concerns you have?
Well, I know that they had x-rays done and she had five cavities and we paid out of pocket for two cavities to get
set. Two on this side and three on this side.
And that was kind of the thing, was that we'd been paying out of pocket.
Really strong teeth, yeah.
And then they said that because she's a Minnesota resident, like she can come in here and have it done for free, so.
That's better than paying a lot of money out of pocket.
Yeah, that is.
I was in an ice show 2 days ago.
You were? What did you do in the ice show?
I fell down at the first one.
Come on over here, darling. I'm gonna have you come sit right in my chair.
Yeah, because I lost 17.
All right, sweetness.
I know you've done this before.
Open a little bit, not bite.
Perfect. Like on the other side, it's like, but the fillings on the way back.
Yeah, we'll do the back ones next.
So I'm just gonna do her exam and then we'll get those two fillings done on the upper left. She will be numb when she leaves.
Okay.
Okay. Okay, so lots of water, okay? Just gonna wash, wash, wash.
So Mom, there's a cavity between these two teeth. And now that I have the cavity out of one and I can directly look at the other, it's kind of the start of a cavity. Best patient we've had all day.
Well, she needs a bag.
She needs a bag. Let's see what I got in here. Here's my pink toothbrushes. I had pink ones.
What do you say?
So the number you called to set up this appointment, just give them a call. The treatment plan's already in the computer.
Okay.
So the one cavity I saw in between her teeth we need to do, but we'll get them both done next time.
Okay.
Okay, we'll see you guys next time.
Thank you.
Make sure you start flossing, darling.
Yeah.
So how do folks even know you're here?
So a lot of them will have a child who is seen in our school program, So we might see their 7-year-old brother, and when mom or dad have contact with us, they realize that all the kids in the family can be seen.
Right.
But we get an opportunity then to educate that parent. So the child that's in the car seat next to the 4-year-old now won't have to go through that same type of pain and suffering.
Right.
Back to our data point, those 63 million Americans with limited access to dental care. It's a serious issue because dental health isn't just about your teeth. Without care, dental problems can affect a person's overall health, social development, their productivity. Think about school kids with toothaches who go unaddressed and how well they can concentrate in class. Left untreated, cavities can quickly escalate to infections and create even more serious conditions. When people don't have access to dental care, they often have to rely on emergency rooms. In 2012, more than 2 million Americans wound up in ERs for dental work at a cost of $1.6 billion. Most of that was paid by taxpayers. Minnesota decided to do something about that. In 2009, it passed legislation creating a new kind of dental provider who fits in between a dentist and a dental hygienist. Dental therapists are kind of like a physician assistant in a medical office. They train in classrooms alongside dentists. Because the scope of their practice makes up about a quarter of what a dentist can do, the training is shorter, and at least half of their patients have to be on public assistance or live in an underserved area. Christy Joe was the second person in Minnesota to receive one of those licenses, and she now sees about 4,000 children each year. Many of them have never been to a dentist before.
Unfortunately, every single day we see kids with what we call rampant decay. They have 20 teeth in their mouth and they have 10 to 20 cavities. So unfortunately, I do spend a good deal of my day doing stainless steel crowns and extractions and fillings on very young, very small children. There's also the days I work in the high schools, and I'm doing tons of educating with those kids, and sometimes a great deal of restorative work on them as well. I remember one of the very first patients that I saw as a dental therapist was a 2-year-old little boy, and his mom brought him into the office. He had fallen and hit his 2 front teeth about a week earlier, but he'd been up for 2 nights in a row crying in pain. And she had called a dozen dental offices, and no one would see him because she was on public assistance, and he was 2 years old. And she came in and was just about in tears. She's like, I was just going to take him to the ER if you guys said no. I had no other options. No one would see him. So that's kind of crazy. I mean, he's just an average little 2-year-old boy, and the mom just wanted her son out of pain.
Right.
And we were able to get his teeth out, and I had her come back a couple weeks later. And he came wheeling around the corner, and he saw me, and he stopped dead. And I thought, oh, here come the tears. Like, I'm that mean lady. And he came running up and grabbed my legs and hugged me. And his mom's like, he just remembers you're the lady who took his pain away. So, you know, that access piece is just about parents wanting their kids to get care.
Right, right. It really comes down to sort of access.
Absolutely. But I saw it everywhere. It was in the rural, for sure. But I saw it in the urban core as well. And those people kept falling through the cracks.
So what can you do? When you are in a facility and you're seeing patients, what do you get to do with them?
So I can do any kind of filling, adult and children. I can do stainless steel crowns, adult and children. I can do extractions of baby teeth. I can also do extractions of adult teeth if they are already mobile due to gum disease.
Okay. Now you work under the supervision of a dentist.
We do.
So how does that work?
It works through a collaborative management agreement, and that's really the key to how this legislation works in Minnesota, is that collaborative agreement lays everything out, what we're allowed to do. If a dentist is uncomfortable with their therapist doing this particular procedure, they can put it right into that agreement that that's something that they're not going to allow them to do. So it's really a teamwork. I mean,
sure.
They're absolutely responsible for us and supervise us, but you really sit down and have a conversation.
You know, a lot of us are a little nervous going to the dentist's office no matter what, right? And then they walk in and you're not a dentist. Does that matter to people?
I've had in my 6.5 years of practice one parent say, I really prefer my child see a dentist, and we accommodated that without any problem. But no, that example of the little boy I told you, his mom didn't care what letters came after my name. She cared that her child was getting out of pain and getting healthy.
What happens if you're not here?
I mean, in just these 3 days, we'll probably see 3 dozen children. It would have been 3 dozen children who would have gone without care. And in the past several days, we've taken out probably a half dozen infected teeth. That would have been another 6 or 7 kids who would have gone with continuing to have infection in their mouth with no way to have access to dental care. So, you know, for those patients, this is it.
Dental therapists must practice under the supervision of a dentist like Dr. Hazar Hamadi. She and Christy Joe work for the same Minneapolis-based nonprofit, Children's Dental Services. At first, she was hesitant about the idea of dental therapists.
I was very skeptic. I wasn't sure how to deal with it. And I think this is a part of human nature that everything, every new thing comes to our life, we always question it. And we are hesitant to accept it. And my question was, are they going to take over our job? Are they going to saturate the field? And also, if they have enough knowledge to do the same job we do.
What happened to change your mind?
In my experience, all of the dental therapists I worked with had the background of being a hygienist and working as a hygienist for a few years. So they already had the knowledge of prevention and educating patients, and that provide their patient interaction and relationship, and they were very comfortable with that. Since their scope of practice is smaller than the dentist, so they do this stuff more often, and we all know experience goes a long way, and they get really, really good at it.
Mm.
I just looked at them as amazing providers that fill the gap of lack of dental treatment that we have for especially rural area and Medicaid patients.
So now dental therapists have been in place for a while in Minnesota. That gives you a track record to evaluate. What have you found?
Actually, it has been a good study on effect of dental therapy in the private practice, and it shows if a private practice hires a dental therapy and just see patients with private insurance, in a solo practice, their profit goes up 17% to 54%, and even if the dentist hires a dental therapist for the purpose of seeing Medicaid patient, it shows that the profits increases 6% overall.
So there's actually a practical impact from a business point of view.
Absolutely.
Dr. Hamadi, thanks so much for your help today.
Absolutely.
As of January 2018, 16 states allow or are considering authorizing this new type of provider. Christy Joe would like to see more people doing what she does.
I mean, especially the nice thing about dental therapists is because it's built on a hygiene education for the most part, you already have that preventive piece in your practitioner. And now you educate them to be able to do a limited scope of practice, but really, quite frankly, the most needed procedures that this population needs. But even if the state legislatures are unwilling to really consider dental therapy, Minnesota, we have collaborative practicing hygienists and assistants. So at least those practitioners can get out and do preventive care. But really, it's just building on what you already have and just using the workforce you already have to expand further into those communities. And you can take a dental hygienist from a very rural area, educate her to the level of a dental therapist, and she's most likely to go back to that community. He or she is.
Must not be hard to get out of bed and go to work in the morning.
It's pretty easy to get out of bed and
work in the morning. Good for
you. Yeah, genuinely love my job. I just love every day I get up and I love what I do, and I know that I make a difference.
After a long day in Moorhead, we saw a lot of kids go home smiling. Our thanks to Children's Dental Services and its patients who allowed us to join them for the day. For more on dental therapists and Pew's research on this topic, including a couple of video interviews with Christy Joe, check out pewtrust.org/afterthefact. And as always, we'd love your feedback on how we're doing. Find us on Twitter at pewtrusts, or leave us a review wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening. For the Pew Charitable Trusts, I'm Dan LaDuke, and this is After the Fact.